Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual, Jim. But the good martini may expand beyond conservatives, because it's good to know, and we've talked about this before, that there is one, at least, young Democrat in Congress who seems to have their head screwed on straight, at least as it pertains to national security and the fight against ISIS. And that is Iraq War vet Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii. She's on the House Armed Services Committee. And on Tuesday, that committee heard from Defense Secretary Ash Carter, who, among other things, talked about the desire to establish an expeditionary force, not some massive ground troop formation, but one that's able to conduct quick raids and collaborate with the Kurdish Peshmerga and so forth. They were talking about the no-fly zones and American fighter jets equipped to target Russian planes on the border. And she can see that's potentially escalating in a hurry, much as we saw with the Turks and the Russians. So Tulsi Gabbard was not overly excited about that idea, saying, quote, "Russia's installation of their anti-aircraft missile defense system increases the possibility of, whether it's intentional or even an accidental event, where one side may shoot down the other side's plane. And that's really where the potential for this devastating nuclear war comes from." That's reported by Joel Gerke, your colleague at National Review. So, Jim, hard to know whether she's being hyperbolic here until something actually would happen. But the fact that she's actually willing to confront this administration is a refreshing rarity from a Democrat.
It is. And one of the interesting questions you see in circles of conservatives who see stories like this, who find themselves nodding with Representative Gabbard. So, Greg, in 5 years, is she still a Democrat? I mean, the last figure who was this outspoken in opposition to the weak, dovish, pacifist, non-confrontational, reckless, too trusting, however you want to characterize the dominant Democratic Party philosophy on national security and matters of protecting the country in war. Tulsi Gabbard is now regularly, she's been our good martini. She may have an end of the year award in her future, I suspect. And so in light of this, can you remain a Democrat if you are instinctively hawkish and not in step with the Obama administration? The last person who was like this was Joe Lieberman, and eventually he was driven out of the party. So Tulsi Gabbard is taking these stances at considerable cost. We all know that she was not invited to the debate of the Democrats by Debbie Wasserman Schultz because they were seeing her as a troublemaker. And you got to wonder whether this really, you know, look, and I don't know about you, Greg, we'll take her. You know? besides her clear thinking on this and the fact that she's pretty popular in this, you mentioned she's a veteran and just a serious-minded woman who seems to see the world clearly. And we can negotiate on all the other issues if she's going to be this good on this one.
Those of us who are old enough to remember back when Democrats and Republicans still clashed over a lot of things, but there were a lot more reasonable people on both sides of the aisle that when it came to national security were very much in lockstep. A lot of folks go all the way back to the Scoop Jackson era, but even in the 80s and 90s, there were Democrats who understood what was required to maintain proper national security. But ever since problems developed after the initial major combat operations in Iraq, it's like the entire Democratic Party just decided to stick its head in the sand.
What was Obama's slogan in 2008? What was his closing cry? We are, you know, 5 days away from fundamentally transforming this country.
Yes.
This is not a guy who fundamentally transformed the world by making it safer for Americans and, you know, destroying our enemies. Right. That's never been part of what Obama was. Democrats lost interest in the war on terror around 2004, 2005. They got really irritated with the Bush administration. They became vehemently anti-war, and they basically wanted the problem to go away. And you look at the entire foreign policy decision making with the withdrawal from Iraq, the leaving just 5,000 guys in Afghanistan. This is an administration that basically wants the problem to go away. And, you know, unsurprisingly, this is not working. They are not agreeing with this philosophy, and you need a different one.
All right, on to the bad martini now, and this is courtesy of Bloomberg News. United Health Group Incorporated should have stayed out of Obamacare's new individual markets longer, the chief executive officer of the biggest U.S. health insurer said Tuesday after announcing last month that it will take hundreds of millions of dollars in losses related to the business. While the company's other lines of business are growing, instead of expanding into Obamacare next year, the company should have kept waiting. United Health CEO Stephen Hemsley said at an investor meeting in New York, Quote, it was for us a bad decision. I take accountability for sitting out the exchange market in year one so we could, in theory, observe, learn, and see how the market experience would develop. This was a prudent going-in position. In retrospect, we should have stayed out longer. Losses from the plans this year and next will total more than $500 million, the company has said, and United Health will scale back efforts to market coverage to millions of people shopping for 2016 insurance on the Affordable Care Act's new marketplaces. And the report goes on to say that major health insurers like Anthem and Aetna are also suffering major losses. So for United Health, which championed Obamacare because the health insurance industry got a seat at the table, Jim, it's important that we play a clip from our favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Welcome to the party, pal.
So that's Officer John McClane at Nakatomi Plaza. But, Jim, we could have told them, and we did tell them years ago that this would happen. Not a ton of sympathy, but it's going to affect us, so it still stinks.
Yeah, I really go back and forth on this. And this is not the first insurance company executive or other figures who were involved in promotion of Obamacare, who signed on eagerly, who thought they were going to be rolling in dough because now they had a product that everyone in the country was required to own or purchase or to pay a fine to the government. And lo and behold, it's not working out. And like, I feel about a bit like saving the insurance companies the way people, you know, responded to the protests at University of Missouri, Greg, and said, it's we have to save the universities. Why is it up to us? We didn't create these problems. In fact, in many cases, we warned against these problems. We said it. The only way we could say this any bigger would be giant flashing neon signs. This is a bad idea. Do a lot of conservatives run health insurance companies? It's not like these guys could be completely oblivious to our arguments, but they said, no, conservatives, you're wrong. Obamacare is going to be awesome. This is going to work out great for our company. And now they're totally – so you know what? I kind of want to see them burn. Let them burn it down. You know, welcome to the party, Pat. Like I really kind of – we are the John McClanes, right? You know who the insurance companies are right now?
Who's that?
They're not the cops. They're Agent Johnson and Johnson, right? They're the guys who are completely oblivious to what's going on, totally confident in their plan, and it's going to literally like maybe not literally blow up in their faces. They're blowing up in their faces will be metaphoric. It was more literal in the movie. The question for us conservatives, Greg, do we ever get tired of being right all the time? Yes, we do. We're more tired of the fact that people won't listen to us. And then they turn to us, and I don't know if I want to go completely cinematic in this and quote Rorschach from Watchmen, but someday the world is going to turn to us and say, save us, and we will say, no. Let this be a teachable moment to you, insurance companies. Always listen to conservatives on when it comes to giant government expansions of government.
Oh, back to Die Hard, though, if I may paraphrase the eloquence of former Deputy L.A. Police Chief Dwayne T. Robinson when calamity befell Special Agent Johnson and Agent Johnson. Looks like we're going to need some more health insurance companies, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be really good if you could. It was easy to start one, but can't have interstate sales, can't have tort reform, can't have any of our ideas.
Oh, man. You guys really, if you haven't watched Die Hard, you really need to. It really, you'll
we
really
do a Mystery Science Theater 3000 version of it.
Exactly.
You and I in the corner making all kinds of like parallels to modern politics.
It has been out for 27 years, though, so if you haven't seen it, I can't.
Yeah, that, spoiler alert.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And given all the attention to the Republican campaign, it's been a while since we've talked about Hillary Clinton. And of course, she has trouble pointing out accomplishments during her time as Secretary of State, as Senator, or even as First Lady. But one thing she loves to talk about is the fact that if she's elected president, she'd be the first woman president. That's how she'd be different from Barack Obama, she told us in the first debate. And now, Jim, as tiresome as that line has become, because it's pretty much the only line she's got right now, she's decided to exploit a bunch of young children, young girls to be specific, who allegedly wrote letters to Mrs. Clinton talking about how much they want her to be president. Here's a clip of a new ad Hillary has highlighting this.
Dear Mrs. Clinton, my name is Scout and I'm 9 years old. I'm so excited you have a chance to become the first woman president. Because from George Washington to Barack Obama, it is ridiculous that there have never been a female president before.
44 boys is too many.
It will be hard work to be a grandma and president. I know you can do it.
I hope you can encourage people to help and save the Earth.
Fight for world peace. I would like to see an end to killing by guns.
I mean, that's about the depth of the Clinton campaign, what these kids are writing, if they actually wrote it. But, Jim, her desperation and her shamelessness have reached a new level, apparently.
Greg, America has had many awful male presidents. It is long past time for an awful woman president. Yay! Finally, we will dispel the notion that a woman would be a better president than Barack Obama. on the one hand, campaigns have to do this kind of cutesy stuff. You know, if you criticize Greg, why do you hate children? Why do you hate little girls?
I have two of them. I love them.
Oh, sure. My best friends are little girls. Of course. There's how fun it is to slip into the indignant progressive voice. But anyway, so, you know, we shouldn't be surprised by this. It's kind of transparent and kind of early in the cycle to be playing the, hey, look at my genitals. I have a different one than you're used to, and thus I'm a better presidential candidate. It's time for variety in our bad presidents. But that's where we are, Greg. And so you can only imagine where things will be like 3 months from now.
Jim Comey, we're waiting on you, buddy. On that note, go watch Die Hard. It's December. It's Christmas season. So go.
There you go.
Go watch that. In the meantime, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.